Today is the 15th day of June. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you in the center of the sixth month of the year. Grateful. Grateful to be here. Grateful to have this place to be. Grateful for somewhere safe. To lay it all down and just open ourselves up. We're just here to read the scriptures. We're just here to take the next step forward. And I'm grateful that we can do that. We are learning of the divided kingdom. So ancient Israel, as we saw its origination in Abraham and then all of the stories of how this family came to thrive and flourish and be enslaved and wander and grumble and do all the things that we do. They finally reached a promised land, and we go through the time of the judges, where everyone does what they think is right, and that leads us to a king, King Saul, who he has some significant mental challenges, some significant paranoia, and just mental health issues that arrive out of his triggering. And we see David arrive on the scene, killing a giant. He later becomes the second king of Israel. His son Solomon then leads the children of Israel to their finest hour. When he dies, his son decides he's just basically going to be arrogant and condescending, and nobody has the respect for him, and so that divides the kingdom. 10 of the tribes break away and will not swear allegiance to the house of David any longer. So Rehoboam, the king of Israel, is now just the king of two tribes, but he does control Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Jeroboam in the north rules the 10 tribes and is blatantly leading the people away from God, to betray their covenant, to cheat on their vows. He's leading them to give themselves to other gods. And that's going to be sort of the issue with those 10 tribes until they are no more. But we're not there yet. We're here at the beginning of all that. 1 Kings chapter 14 verse 1 through 15 verse 24. At that time, Jeroboam's son, Abijah, became very sick. So Jeroboam told his wife, "Disguise yourself so that no one will recognize you as my wife. Then go to the prophet Ahijah at Shiloh, the man who told me I would become king. Take him a gift of 10 loaves of bread, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and ask him what will happen to the boy." So Jeroboam's wife went to Ahijah's home at Shiloh. He was an old man now and could no longer see. But the Lord had told Ahijah, "Jeroboam's wife will come here pretending to be someone else. She will ask you about her son, for he is very sick. Give her the answer I give you." So when Ahijah heard her footsteps at the door, he called out, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why are you pretending to be someone else?" And he told her, "I have bad news for you. Give your husband Jeroboam this message from the Lord, the God of Israel. I promoted you from the ranks of the common people and made you ruler over my people Israel. I ripped the kingdom away from the family of David and gave it to you. But you have not been like my servant David, who obeyed my commands and followed me with all his heart and always did whatever I wanted. You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made other gods for yourself and have made me furious with your gold calves. And since you have turned your back on me, I will bring disaster on your dynasty and will destroy every one of your male descendants, slave and free alike, anywhere in Israel. I will burn up your royal dynasty as one burns up trash until it is all gone. The members of Jeroboam's family who die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those who die in the field will be eaten by vultures. I, the Lord, have have spoken. Then Ahijah said to Jeroboam's wife, go on home, and when you enter the city, the child will die. All Israel will mourn for him and bury him. He is the only member of your family who will have a proper burial. For this child is the only good thing that the Lord, the God of Israel, sees in the entire family of Jeroboam. In addition, the Lord will raise up a king over Israel who will destroy the family of Jeroboam. This will happen today, even now. Then the Lord will shake Israel like a reed whipped about in a stream. He will uproot the people of Israel from this good land that he gave their ancestors, and will scatter them beyond the Euphrates River. For they have angered the Lord with the Asherah poles they have set up for worship. He will abandon Israel because Jeroboam sinned and made Israel sin along with him. So Jeroboam's wife returned to Tirzah, and the child died, just as she walked through the door of her home. And all Israel buried him and mourned for him as the Lord had promised through the prophet Ahijah. The rest of the events in Jeroboam's reign, including all his wars and how he ruled, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Jeroboam reigned in Israel 22 years. When Jeroboam died, his son Nadab became the next king. Meanwhile, Rehoboam, son of Solomon, was king in Judah. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen from among all the tribes of Israel as the place to honor his name. Rehoboam's mother was Naamah, an Ammonite woman. During Rehoboam's reign, the people of Judah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, provoking his anger with their sin, for it was even worse than that of their ancestors. For they also built for themselves pagan shrines and set up sacred pillars and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every green tree. There were even male and female shrine prostitutes throughout the land. The people imitated the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. In the fifth year of King Rehoboam's reign, King Shishak of Egypt came up and attacked Jerusalem. He ransacked the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the royal palace. He stole everything, including all the gold shields Solomon had made. King Rehoboam later replaced them with bronze shields as substitutes, and he entrusted them to the care of the commanders of the guard who protected the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the temple of the Lord, the guards would also take the shields and then return them to the guard room. The rest of the events in Rehoboam's reign, and everything he did, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. There was constant war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. When Rehoboam died, he was buried among his ancestors in the city of David. His mother was Naamah, an Ammonite woman. Then his son Abijam became the next king. Abijam began to rule over Judah in the 18th year of Jeroboam's reign in Israel. He reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother was Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom. He committed the same sins as his father before him, and he was not faithful to the Lord his God, as his ancestor David had been. But for David's sake, the Lord his God allowed his descendants to continue ruling, shining like a lamp, and he gave Abijam a son to rule after him in Jerusalem. For David had done what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, and had obeyed the Lord's commands throughout his life, except in the affair concerning Uriah the Hittite. There was war between Abijam and Jeroboam throughout Abijam's reign. The rest of the events in Abijam's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. There was constant war between Abijam and Jeroboam. When Abijam died, he was buried in the city of David. Then his son Asa became the next king. Asa began to rule over Judah in the 20th year of Jeroboam's reign in Israel. He reigned in Jerusalem 41 years. His grandmother was Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom. Asa did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, as his ancestor David had done. He banished the male and female shrine prostitutes from the land and got rid of all the idols his ancestors had made. He even deposed his grandmother Maacah from her position as queen mother because she had made an obscene Asherah pole. He cut down her obscene pole and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although the pagan shrines were not removed, Asa's heart remained completely faithful to the Lord throughout his life. He brought into the temple of the Lord the silver and gold and the various items that he and his father had dedicated. There was constant war between King Asa of Judah and King Baasha of Israel. King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. Asa responded by removing all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the temple of the Lord and the royal palace. He sent it with some of his officials to Ben-Hadad, son of Tibramon, son of Hetzion, the king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, along with this message. "Let there be a treaty between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. I am sending you a gift of silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel, so that he will leave me alone." Ben-Hadad agreed to King Asa's request and sent the commanders of his army to attack the towns of Israel. They conquered the towns of Ijon, Dan, Ebel Bet-Maacah, and all Kinneret, and all the land of Naphtali. As soon as Baasha of Israel heard what was happening, he abandoned his project of fortifying Ramah and withdrew to Tirzah. Then King Asa sent an order throughout Judah requiring that everyone, without exception, help to carry away the building stones and timbers that Baasha had been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the town of Geba in Benjamin and the town of Mizpah. The rest of the events in Asa's reign, the extent of his power, everything he did, and the names of the cities he built are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. In his old age, his feet became diseased. When Asa died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then Jehoshaphat, Asa's son, became the next king. Acts 10:1-23. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. "Cornelius," the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared. "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated 3 times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, 3 men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them. So Peter went down and said, I'm the man you are looking for. Why have you come? They said, We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message. So Peter invited the man to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. Psalm 133. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, a psalm of David. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his head and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Proverbs 17:7-8. Eloquent words are not fitting for a fool. Even less are lies fitting for a ruler. A bribe is like a lucky charm. Whoever gives one will prosper. Okay, so in the book of Acts, what we're moving through right here is something that we should really pay attention to. Not only for the way that it transformed everything that happens next, and really kind of is this origination seed of some real controversy that happened in the early church. But for those of us, you know, who really like theology, and I do, but who try to take this science and pretend that in some way we have everything that we know everything about the Most High God and everything that he will and will not do. This kind of throws a wrench into some of that. And the result should be humility, I think. So the Apostle Peter is coming to some unsettling revelations or understandings that have far-reaching implications. So we read of 2 different visionary experiences that would catapult those who received the vision toward each other in very unlikely ways. So first is this Roman centurion. He's named Cornelius. He sees an angel that instructs him to send for a man named Peter in a different city and to bring him to his house. There's no other instructions that the angel gave. There's no context other than that God had heard Cornelius' prayers and seen his gifts to the poor. So then Cornelius sends 2 servants and a soldier to Joppa along the Mediterranean coast. They're sent to get Peter. The next day, as they're traveling and as they're entering Joppa, Peter's on the roof of a house waiting for lunch, and he has a vision of his own, and in this vision he's instructed to eat the meat of animals that according to Mosaic law are off limits. They are unclean. So Peter's immediate reaction to the instructions are, no, I've never done that. I've never allowed anything like that, anything unclean. I've never eaten anything like that. And so Peter's wrestling with this and with this whole concept because it was foreign to him. And he considered what he was being instructed to do to be breaking the Mosaic Law, to be a sin. And so in the vision, he's instructed specifically, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. Right? So that, like, there's the crux of our theological humility. Because for Peter and for everyone who is Jew, like, this is a contrary to the understanding of God's law and scripture to what they're supposed to do. It's sin. So this happens three times. And then Peter's told that three men have come looking for him, that he should go back downstairs and go with them without delay. Don't worry, don't worry. There's no problem. They're sent by God. So we have to wait until tomorrow to see the implications of these visions and what happens, because what happens is extraordinary and changes everything, and actually changes everything for you and for me. And so we'll have to contemplate that. But we can already see there's a disruptive hand of God in what's going on here. And it's flying in the face of tradition. Cornelius is a Roman soldier. Jewish people do not associate kindly with Romans. They were unclean. They were not a part of the exclusive worship of the Lord God of Israel. On the other hand, Peter is being instructed to take and eat food that to him had been considered unclean, and was then instructed by the Holy Spirit to go away, to depart without hesitation with these Gentile people. Now, this is an act that's going to get Peter in trouble. Like, this kind of social interaction was frowned upon heavily. So what we see happening here is that God is reframing what all of these people thought that they knew. And he continues to disrupt the things that will cage us. What's happening here? These boundaries that God is expanding with Peter and Cornelius. These events change the entire world and affect us today. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. And so, Father, we invite your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that brings and brought these visions, that enacted what we're reading. We call upon your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, to allow us to embrace our own disruptions, our own set of understandings, our own legalism, our own traditionalism, whatever it may be that we think that we know. May we submit that to you, because we do not know all that we think that we know, but you do. And so with open hands and open heart, we invite your Spirit to lead us into all truth. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Hi, my daily audio Bible family. This is Cowgirl from Canada, and I just listened to the June 10th prayer times, and Manita from Illinois called in and prayed for me and my daughter, Kayla. She's recently had an unstable fracture of her foot and required surgery. She's now non-weight-bearing for 6 weeks, and is young and has a job an hour away from her home and things. So Thank you for praying for her and me as well. I've God has miraculously brought me out of a 3-month depression, and I just praise him for that. And thank you, Manita. Just really touched my heart, your prayer today. And I remember during those months, I would listen to Daily Audio Bible. I wasn't behind like I am now. But I was waiting to hear for somebody to pray for me. And yeah, you just really blessed me today. And yeah, I know God has done an amazing job in my life, and I just want to give him glory. And I am able to give testimony for him. My goal is to use my horses eventually to bring people to an understanding of where they're at mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and give honor to God. I'd also just like to pray for apple of his eye. Her 29-year-old son had surgery, and there's some complications. His name is Robert. Heavenly Father, I just pray for Robert now, and I pray that you might be with him, your Holy Spirit might comfort him, and that you might heal his body from the tip of his head to the top of his head to his toes, and just really bring all of those cells back into normal structure, and take care of any complications, and just bring his heart and his soul to a place of peace and restoration. And I just want to bless you all and thank you for your prayers. Amen.
Hello, everybody. This is Valerie from Northwest Arkansas. And I want to thank all of you who prayed for me as I grieve the loss of my son, Ben, who passed away from pancreatic cancer. Those prayers have meant a lot to me. But today I'm asking for prayer for another burden that is weighing heavily on my heart. I have two precious little grandchildren, Maymay and Tommy, whom I love dearly. And because of certain things, I have not got to see them in 8 months and not got to FaceTime them in 5 months. And as you grandmothers know, this separation is extremely heartbreaking. I think about these precious kids every day. I wonder how they're doing, what they're learning, what makes them laugh, and if they know how much their mama loves them. The grief of losing Ben has been so hard, and being separated from my grandchildren has added another layer of sadness, loneliness, and grief. Would you all please pray that God will protect these two precious children, surround them with his love, and then remind them that they are deeply loved. Pray that God will heal any hurts within our family, soften hearts, and open a door for reconciliation and restored contact. I know God can make a way when there seems no way. And most of all, please pray that I will trust the Lord while I wait. That he will strengthen my faith, lift this depression, and help me rest in his promises. I am holding on to the thought that one day I will be able to hug these precious grandchildren again. Thank you, Dad family. I love you all and appreciate your prayers more than I can express.
Hey, Dabbers, it's Fearfully and Wonderfully Made from Winchester, Virginia. Just wanted to call in and pray for Taken with Love from Louisiana. Dear sister, I heard your prayer request, and I just got to thinking, the enemy will attack us in the gifts that God has given us to bless others, and one of your gifts is your voice. It is so calm and loving and kind, and has such healing whenever I listen to you. And you've called in and prayed for me and my family a couple of times, and it just really touched my heart just hearing your voice. And I just want you to know that we're here loving on you, praying for you, and I'm going to lift you up to the throne of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would touch Taken with Love, and that you would heal her body, if that is your will, dear God, and that you would bring her comfort, peace. And we know that your healing power is stronger than anything that the enemy can throw at us, dear Lord. And I just ask that you would use this to be a witness for you, and that you would continue to bless her while she blesses others with her voice, dear Lord. These things we pray in Jesus' name. We love you. We praise you. Amen.
Hello, this is Abba's girl from Iowa. I wanted to ask for prayer for our family, specifically my youngest son. Several years ago, My husband and I helped to plant a church, and our children were school age. They're all teenagers now, but they were really involved. We poured our heart and soul into it, and my husband was very abruptly fired about 2 years ago. The reasons given were blind spots. And that's been a very painful journey for us. As far as we know, all of our children have told us that they still love the Lord. Since then, we've moved and are part of a new church and just starting to feel safe and good. And we recently found out that the youth leader for my youngest son is under investigation for enticing a minor and viewing child pornography. And we are devastated. My son is devastated. We are just trying to figure out how to move forward and walk with him. I want to ask for prayer specifically for God to heal his heart. Right now he feels like he can't trust anyone outside of our family. And when he has tried to get plugged into the church, it's just been a painful thing for him, and that's very difficult to see your 13-year-old be in that place with church hurt. So I just ask for prayer for God to heal his heart, wisdom for my husband and I, and how to move forward. And
good morning, my DAB family. This is Northeast Kneebender. It's still June 11th, and I want to continue to pray for my brothers and sisters across the world. We have so many requests for healing, and I want to bring before the throne of grace all of the men represented on this line, whether they're young or old, married, singled, widowed, divorced, going through situations, oh God, ailments. I want to just say, Lord, be with them. Be with them. Meet them where they need you most, oh Father. Encourage them. Let them know that you are close to the brokenhearted, close to the sick, oh God. You are the divine healer. God, I pray for whatever their needs are, that you would be merciful and loving, compassionate with them, oh Father. I thank you for this privilege, oh Father. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen. I want to let you all know I'm praying, oh God, for those that are with cancer diagnoses, those of us praying for unsaved loved ones, grown adults, young children, young adults, for marriages. I am standing here in the gap for those that are with terrible diagnoses, and God is the divine healer. I just wanted you all to know that I am praying for every single situation on this line. I love you all. God bless you, Northeast Kneebender.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is beloved Cheryl in Tacoma, Washington. And I just want to give praise to God and say thank you to all those who prayed for my granddaughter, Leanna, who was having surgery on her thyroid cancer. The surgery went well. They took the thyroid and some lymph glands out. They feel that the cancer was all contained on the thyroid, so they are testing those things to see if any further treatment needs to be done. Please pray that her body would respond and be healed. And I just want to say thank you and praise to God. She is at home now and recovering and doing very well. She has a beautiful spirit and she loves Jesus so much. So thank you for your prayers.